Turn your Bibles to James chapter 2. Just to remind us again, as we study the book of James, it was most likely the first book written of the New Testament, actually something people could have in their hands. Primarily Jewish in mind, Jewish Christians, Jewish believers. So there were a lot of issues that need to be dealt with, but we outlined the book very briefly. It's a matter, the first chapter, of how to deal with suffering. Second chapter, dealing with our service. Third chapter, which we'll not get to, is tonight, but is on our speech. Then our separation from the world and the second coming of Christ, finally, in the last chapter. So the idea of faith, not being dead, it reveals itself in two possible ways. So real faith is manifest by action, and that action is seen by love. Okay, that was our last lesson. So we will care about others, will not be prejudiced against one or another or judge people in that way. But we're going to love everybody, try and reach everybody with the gospel. So by our love, that shows our faith. Secondly, though, people see our faith by our works, by what we do, by our actions. So that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. So let's start reading in verse 14. What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say, you might highlight, put in parentheses or underline, a man say, though a man say he hath faith, doesn't mean he has it, he's just saying he does. Though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? And literally, can that kind of faith save him? Can that kind of faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Note also in verse 18, he's saying, I will show you my faith. That's how people see it, by your actions. I'll show it to you. God can see your heart. He knows whether you have it or not. But people can't see your heart. They see your actions. So I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Now we have two illustrations that substantiate this point about real faith shows the works or the deeds or actions of a person that people can see it. So Abraham is the first example. Look at verse 21. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. So we might summarize this portion of this chapter, this half of the chapter, by saying, faith is proved by our works. Paul tells us that we are saved by faith alone. We are justified by faith. The Bible says we're saved by grace through faith, and that not of works, lest any man should boast. So the message tonight is a very doctrinal one, a very important one that every person understands. I remember handing my dentist a book which he read about assurance of salvation. And the next time I went and saw him, he basically said, well, you know, we have a difference. I believe what James says, you know, that you got to, by your works, you earn your salvation. Well, that's not at all what James is saying. And, you know, you didn't understand that. And when your mouth is open and people have their hands in there, it's hard to explain doctrine. It's hard to do that. You know, they talk and they want you to answer and you can't answer. But faith is what saves us as far as our standing with God. He can see that faith. He knows that faith. But James is talking about these believers giving evidence of their salvation. It is by their service. That's how people will know that you're saved. That's how they'll know that you're a Christian. And real faith is evidenced by works. God sees that faith, but when it is real faith, it somehow translates into action. There will be work that comes out of it. And so that's the basic point that James is trying to make. We're going to do a little bit of turning in our Bible, so get your Bible ready. Start in Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, verse 1. Okay, what shall we say then, that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Not him that worketh is the reward, not reckoned of grace, but of debt. So if we look at Abraham, here Paul is saying, he was justified by faith. He was saved by faith. We go to James and it tells us that his faith was vain without works. James is describing what real faith looks like. Paul is just telling us that faith is what saves you. So there is a distinction between the two. How our standing before God is made right. So a sinner is saved by faith without works. And we quoted Ephesians 2:8-9, which is very clear in Scripture. But true faith leads us to work. So if you go on and look at the next verse, go with me to Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2. So verse 8 and 9 tell us that we're saved by grace through faith, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Clearly, it's a free gift of God. But look at verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So he has begun that work in us. When faith is exercised in Christ, in his death on the cross, we are justified, made right with God. He begins a work in our lives where we are now growing and manifesting that faith. And it is seen as a daily occurrence. So that's what James is referring to, how it'll be evidenced in our lives. Go with me back to 1 John. 1 John chapter 3. Starting at verse 16. 1 John 3:16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shut up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. See, John's saying the same thing James is saying. And they're not disagreeing with Paul. Scripture does not conflict. All you have to do is understand the perspective of our faith. Real faith will be manifest by our deeds, by our action. So if a person goes around saying, yeah, I'm a Christian, I'm saved, I love the Lord, and yet they give no evidence of it, something's wrong. Because if a person has faith, God sees that, he knows that, but it will be manifest in some way. Our actions will be changed. We'll be different. back in James again, look at verse 14. It says, what doth it profit, my brethren? What profit is there for anyone? Though a man say, he have faith and have not works, can that kind of faith save him? Can that faith save him? It's not a living faith, it's a dead faith. In fact, a person that does not show forth any good deeds or actions, most likely, does not have real faith. And so Paul sees only the perspective of standing before God. James sees the reality of that being acted out in a daily life. So there must be a living faith. He said, show me your faith. Show me your faith. See, it's so clear. You didn't have to show God. God knows. But people need to see it. So he's saying, show me your faith. And the way you show them your faith is they see the result of your faith. You're living by faith. You're following the Word of God, obedient to the Word of God. They see it by your love. They see it because you care for them. You're trying to help people. Someone at the bank told me today that after one of the tellers passed away this week, prematurely, 40 years old. And so I took some flowers and a card. I actually have almost a brochure down about death and how to deal with it. And one of the tellers said, I can't thank you enough how much that helped me. And she said, I wish our church did that. And I said, I tell you, we've got a great church. When something like that happens, people come together and they help one another. See, that's the reality of showing faith, that you're revealing something about what's in your heart. That's what living faith is all about. So there is an obedience to the Word of God. Now, the devil, he also believes. In that sense, he has faith to believe in the existence of Christ. He even believes the doctrine of the death, burial, and resurrection. But it's a dead faith. It's just knowledge. There is no reality to his faith. So for somebody to say, oh, I believe that Jesus walked the earth, I believe he died for the sins of the world, that's a dead faith. But it's when we put our faith and trust in him, that commitment is made. It becomes a living faith. And it's manifested by action. So he gives us two examples. The first one is Abraham. Just about everybody here tonight is well aware of the story of Abraham. And we know there was a promise, a covenant that was made with Abraham. He's going to be the father of many people. I mean, they're going to be, you can't count the number of them. And yet he doesn't have any children. He's barren. But God, in a miraculous way, gives him a son. And then he says, Abraham, I want you to sacrifice your son. So the Bible talks about the faith of Abraham, but then it also talks about that he acted upon that faith. He believed God and trusted God. So he was willing. And I believe, according to Scripture, that he believed if he actually had to slay his son and by the command of God, that God would raise him up again. I believe that's what he thought. So he was willing to do that and give. But that showed what great faith he had. I'll tell you, that's one story in the Bible or one event in the Bible. I have a hard time thinking, yes, I would do the same thing. That would be a hard thing to do. So it shows us his faith. It's revealed to us so we can actually see the faith of Abraham. What a man of great faith. He didn't just say, Lord, I'm not going to sacrifice my son, but believe me, I have faith. Believe me, I have faith. No, he showed it by his action. It was revealed. So he trusted in God and believed in the promise of God. How then was he ever going to fulfill this dream and this vision that God had promised? I don't know that he really knew how it ever happened, but he just believed God. He trusted God. They became as numerous as the sand of the sea and the stars of the heaven, just like God said. But at the time, that would have been hard to see. So Abraham had faith in God, believed God. When you go to Hebrews chapter 11, it explains more about his faith. What a man of faith. And he's in that great chapter about people of great faith. But the thing that made it great was he acted on his faith. If he just said he had it, he wouldn't be there. because he acted upon that faith. People that we know that acted upon faith and they did something that was very difficult to do or hard to do, something that would be very costly, maybe in a risky way even, that it could cost them money or even perhaps their life, but they're willing to obey God. Those are the stories that challenge us the most because we saw what they did. Saw what they said, it's not just what they think, it's not what someone says about them, it's what they do. So Abraham becomes an example that James is calling upon to say, here was a man of faith, and see, his faith was manifested. He acted upon his faith. Then he gives a second illustration. Go back with me to the book of Joshua, chapter 2. Way back in your Bible. Joshua chapter 2. So the children of Israel are to go into the promised land. They're right before Jericho, and they're waiting on God to give them the directions what they're supposed to do. So they go into the city to spy around, look around, see whatever might be helpful to them, see what they're up against. And they meet someone. Okay, Joshua chapter 2. Verse 1, and Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went, and they came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, there came me in hither tonight the children of Israel to search out the country. And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country. And the woman took the two men and hid them, and said, thus there came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. And it came to pass about the time of shutting the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whether the men went out, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house, and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan and to the fords. And as soon as they was pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof. And she said unto them, now this is important. Here's what she said to them. I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you, when you came out of Egypt, what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now, we're not going to read the rest of the chapter. I think we pretty well know it. But evidently, Rahab already believed in God and had come to a confrontation with God and said, he is the true God before those men ever came, before she was ever delivered out of the city of Jericho. She had a belief in God. Now, she's used as an example. And it tells us she was justified by works. Well, what works did she do? Well, she hid the spies. She protected them so that they could get back to their families, back to their army. And because of that, God spared her and spared her family. Now look, it was her faith that caused her that action. All of her family was there, but she was not saved. She didn't become a believer because of her action. She became a believer because she believed that there was one true God. Furthermore, if it was possible to be saved by her action, then her action saved all those other people too. They were saved because of what she did. And we know what a farce that would be. How can you explain someone who's accountable to God saved as a result of the effort of someone else? It doesn't work that way. Every man must give account of his own life before God. And so when they came, they protected their family and were able to take them out. And of course, we know, as you go through Scripture, Rahab is in the lineage of King David. And you look at some great, marvelous people that came as a result of that one particular woman. Quite an amazing story. But the truth is, she had faith in God before the spies ever came. She believed, but she showed that faith by her actions. She saved the spies because of her actions. So Paul warns, if you go back to 2 Corinthians, you have to turn to it, but 2 Corinthians 13:5, he says, "Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates?" So he said, prove your own selves. There are those that have a dead faith. They're not even saved. They may profess, they may say they're a Christian, but it is a dead faith. There's no real faith in them. They may have certain good qualities. They may be kind to their neighbor. They may have certain good deeds, but no real genuine faith is there. And so it is a dead faith. They can profess, as James 2:14 says, but they deny by their lives the very thing they profess. Their actions don't match up. Paul explained the same thing to Titus. He said they profess that they know God, but by their works they deny Him. So Paul said the same thing. They say they're saved, but their works prove otherwise. Real Christians are a peculiar people, zealous of good works, Titus 2:14. They are zealous of good works. So we should look at our own life. That doesn't mean that a true Christian does not ever sin. That doesn't mean that. What it means is there is a manifestation of his works. There is a change. And I think, again, Ephesians chapter 2 sort of summarizes the whole thing. So the work of God gives us something. It gives us salvation. It is through the influence of what God does in our lives through the Word of God. It says, for by grace are you saved. It's not of works. So it is God who does the saving. He brings us salvation. And then it's what He does in us that we call sanctification. It says in verse 10, we are His workmanship. That work He's begun, He will perform in us. And you know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. And this is those whom He did foreknow, He did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. So that's God's plan for us to be sanctified. That's a work He does in us. That is, as we grow in the Lord, as we read our Bible, as we're in church, fellowshipping with Christians, as we seek God and mature, that work of sanctification goes on. And then the work of God through us is our service. Now, there's certain things you can do, but true faith manifests itself by action in serving Him. We are created unto good works, it says. Created unto good works. Doing good deeds for Christ. Sharing the gospel, teaching Sunday school, singing in the choir, playing the piano, ushering. Anything that we can do to serve the Lord, we want to do it. Helping in any way that we can help. And so real faith is manifested by our good deeds. So the perspective is, when God looks down upon us, He can see that faith. And He knows that that faith will be manifested in the future. But that's not the point. He sees it. He can look at our heart. But man cannot see it. And James is explaining to these people, he said, by your service, by your love, and by your actions, people will see all this pagan world, this pagan society you live in. They will see there's a difference in your life. They will see that you are indeed a Christian by your works. And so just saying you're a Christian, not good enough. Prove it. Show it. You're not justified by your works. That doesn't save you, doesn't remit one sin. What it does is convince other people that there is a God in heaven. They see your love and your actions of Christ working through you. Let's bow for prayer.